learn again. I'm really excited to to get back to a regular schedule over here. So so we get to start the Melach of Borer today. So as you know from I'm sure some guys have started already, Shin Yutes is where we discuss Borer. So before we start Borer, a couple of things to know. It's a major and clear sugya in the Gemara in the sense that it is in one centralized location in the Gemara, which not every Melach of Shabbos really fits that that mold of being a very clear sugya to be able to learn. Problem is that all of the klalim don't necessarily emerge from the Gemara. Like there are certain things about Borer, like what's even considered a mixture. What do you call the mixture? That's not abundantly clear in the Gemara. Although there are certain klalim that obviously, I mean, all the klalim emerge from the sugya, but there's a lot of going through the forest and trying to clarify things that's involved from the point of getting from the Gemara to the bottom line halacha. Remember, once they made someone made a movie about Rav Soloveitchik they interviewed Rav Schachter, and Rav Schachter said that going into Rav Soloveitchik shir, it's like before you went into shir. When I say Rav Schachter, I mean the Rosh Hashiva. The Rosh Hashiva said that there you go that before you went into shir, you felt like you were in this dense forest and you were totally lost, and you saw all these trees, but you had no idea which trees were which kind of trees, and what belonged where, and what was what, and which direction you were facing. And then you went into shir, and it was like a path just opened up for you, and you appreciated, where everything belonged, and what everything, and the value of each tree, and what. And he said that's what Rav Soloveitchik shir was like. So you really need to go through the halacha over here to get an appreciation of the Gemara. You go through the Gemara over here, and it's just confusing. There's a lot. You're in that forest. And we need to try to clarify the inyanim of Borer. Now, the Mishnah Berurah has an interesting line at the beginning of his introduction to the Siman. He has a brief introduction to Siman Shin Yutes, and he writes, "Hinei Borer hu echad milametes avos melachos shel Shabbos." The Borer is really an Av Malach of Shabbos, and therefore it has to be taken very seriously. It's just like any other Malach of Shabbos, which is surprising that the Mishnah Berurah needs to tell us that. Why would I think it's not one of the Avos Malachos of Shabbos? I'm reminded of my friend once said that he was giving a shir, a halach shir. My friend, is known for his drushas and the simashas and other, and his drushas, his tshuva drushas, but really, his bread and butter was his weekly halacha shir that he gave to Balabatim in Baltimore, and he gives a Aliba de Hilchsa shir in Neri Yisrael. So he said he was once giving a halacha shir to Balabatim about Borer. And afterwards, a guy comes up to him and says, "Rabbi, it was a nice shir. There's just one problem." He said, "What's that?" He said, "There's no such thing as Borer." He said, "What do you mean there's no such thing as Borer?" He said, "Well, you made it up, because I grew up Orthodox, and in my house, there was no such thing as Borer. Never heard of it before." And he just assumed that my friend made up all of these rules on the spot, and he was just, because there's no such thing as Borer. So the Mishnah Berurah, I guess, to address that fellow, starts out at the beginning of the Siman by telling us, by the way, there is such a thing as Borer. It's one of the Lamatas Havos Malachos of Shabbos, and it's something that's an Isidar Raisa to do. And he says, that fellow that attended Rabbi Frank's shir is not unique. There are a lot of people that are nichshol in the Yisr of Borer. And therefore the Mishnah Berurah says it's incumbent upon me to clarify the inyanim of Borer in great detail so that people won't be nichshal in this issue. So Borer is an absolute issue d'oraisa, and we need to explain all of the intricacies of the halachos of Borer in all of its detail, and so that we can appreciate in all the situations that it comes up, even in different items that are not food related items. So let's start. The Mishnah Shabbos Avayim Gimel Amdalev tells us Hadash, Hazora, Haborer, Hatochin, Vamraket. It lists off what we call the Sidura de Pas, all of the malachos that are involved, the threshing and winnowing and sorting and crushing and sifting, all the avos malachos in the Sidura de Pas that are involved in bread, in making, in baking, or preparing bread. So what are the Sidur of the Pasuk? If you pay careful attention to what each of these malachos are, something jumps out at you as it did at the Gemara. Something jumped out at the Amoraim. That what happens? The wheat is fully grown and it's harvested. So the farmer gathers it and collects it. And then the farmer does dash. He threshes the wheat, which is to crush it to release the kernel from the chaff. And then he would throw the mixture of the kernels, the chaff and the debris into the air. And that's called Zora, because the wind would blow away, the wind would carry away the lighter debris and into the distance, and the kernels would fall to the ground. And the kernels is what he was interested in having, so that would fall to the ground. But those kernels were still mixed with the heavier debris, because when you threw it in the air, the wind blew away the lighter debris, but there's still some heavier debris that's still mixed with the kernels. There's some gravel and things like that. So in order to perfect the grain, the farmer would remove the pebbles from the kernels, and that's our malach. That's borer. He's got the kernels and the pebbles, the gravel that's mixed in with it. So he's got to pull out all the pebbles. And then he would crush the grain or grind the grain to make flour. That's tochen. And after the grinding, there were still impurities that were left in the flour. So he'd have to sift the grain. And that's, of course, mirakade. And then he'll have clean flour. So the Gemara and Ayin Gimel and Beis ask the obvious question that a number of these malachos sound like they're really accomplishing exactly the same thing. Hainu zore, hainu borer. Hainu Merakid. All of these three malachos, Zora, Borer, and Merakid, are all accomplishing the same thing in that they're separating that which is good from that which is bad. And as Rashi explains over there, Kolomar, Demafligluhu Tana Demasnisan Lutlas, the Tana of our Mishnah counts it as three of those malachos. But they're all the same thing. Demafrish, Ochel, Menapsoles. They all involve being mafrish, Ochel from Psoles, separating that which is desirable from that which is undesirable. So why in the world are they three malachos? Emphat the Gemara, Abai Ravadamri Tarvayu, Kol Milsa Davi B'Mishkan, we don't get to make the rules, essentially. You know, the Akadosh Baruch Hu made the rules that whatever was necessary to be done in the Mishkan gets status of an av malacha, even though there may be many other activities that were done in the Mishkan that are very similar to it in terms of its content, in terms of its the activity that you do, in terms of the goal of doing that activity. It doesn't matter, but if there were separate activities in the Mishkan, then they count as an independent av malacha. And nowadays, we still do all of these things. I mean, many of these processes are done by machine nowadays. We're not, you know, farmers necessarily doing all of these things directly, but obviously it needs to go through a great grain still has, certain things will never change, right? Grain is still certainly going to have to go through the same processes in order for it to be ready. But from Rashi's description, one thing that jumps out at you is Rashi says, in what way are all of these malachos similar? Why are they, meaning we understand the Gemara is telling us that they're similar, but Rashi's telling us in what way they're similar. Why? Demafrish ochel min apsoles. So Rashi spells it out for us right there. That there's ochel, there's psoles. When you separate ochel and psoles from each other, you are now in the realm of borer. You are in an area where there's a danger of borer. And if you don't do it right, you're going to be in violation of borer. But it sounds like the ingredients to make borer are ochel and psoles. Without ochel and psoles, there cannot be borer. The malacha borer seems to be assuming not only that there's ochel and psoles, because you could have ochel over here and psoles over here, and that is not a borer issue, right? Ochel and psoles that are bitaroves, that are mixed together. If there is no mixture, we're going to have to get into some detail as to what qualifies as a mixture, right? Are things on top of each other considered to be a mixture? You have a pile of coats at a Shalom Zachar or something. You ever make the mistake of being one of the first people to arrive at a Shalom Zachar, right? And then it'll be first in, first out, right? It's FIFO at a Shalom Zachar. So you go, and then any accounting major? Then a bunch of people come. That's the only thing I remember from accounting. Then a bunch of people come after you, and they pile pile, their coat's on, you want to leave, and your coat is somewhere under that pile. Is that a borer issue? Do you have to now concern yourself with borer? Just how to identify a borer situation? What's called a mixture? What's called, you have a deli platter, and there's turkey sitting on top of pastrami. There's this healthy white meat that's sitting on top of the good stuff. So you want to get the pastrami or the corned beef that's underneath it. Is that a borer situation? So we're gonna have to discuss how do we define first of all chiddush number one that it seems that there's got to be ochel and there's got to be psolus, and then how do we define a taroves? But let's start with chiddush number one of Rashi, that there's got to be ochel and there's got to be psolus. Is that so pashut? In order to have a borer situation, must you have a situation where there's both ochel and psolus? So the Gemara 9 Dalet Amar Aleph, Gemara quotes a brisa which says something, but it's a question in the girsa. But the way we have it, the brisa says, Tanur Rabbanan, Hayu Lefanav Minei Ochlin. You have what? You have types of food. Borer v'ochel, borer miniach, v'lo yivra v'imbir chayiv chatas. Then the brisa jumps all over the place, right? You could be borer and eat, be borer and leave some over, and also don't do borer, and also if you borer, you chayiv chatas. What on earth is going on in the price? So the price is obviously, ikr chasam and asef, but there's a lot of perush that's left out of that price. How many different halachos is the price telling me? What are the circumstances of that price? And that's what the sugya basically is. The Gemara, if you learn the Gemara, there are five different explanations of what that price even means to tell us. But leaving out all of the halachos in the Braisa, because we're not up to halachos of borer yet. We're still trying to figure out what is a circumstance of borer, right? That's shlava aleph. Step one is we just have to figure out what is a case where my antenna have to go up and say, uh-oh, this might be a borer situation. So leaving out all of the halachos of the Braisa, all the five explanations of the Braisa, what is a circumstance of borer? Right, so we wanted to know when Rashi said that borer is defined, and just like merakin is defined, and just like dash is defined as separating ochel and psoles, that the ingredients to make a borer situation are ochel and psoles. Is that necessarily true? So the Gemara says that there are minei ochlin, but there's a question in the girsa over here. Rashi and I in Dalet Amar Aleph writes, "Hayu lefan of minei ochlin garsinan." Velo garsinan shnei, that we're not goreis that hayu lefan of shnei minei ochlin. We're just goreis that there are minei ochlin. Well, what's the difference whether you say shnei minei ochlin or minei ochlin? So it seems that if the girsa is that you have shnei minei ochlin and then you want to sort them out, what does it mean to sort them out? It means to sort them from each other, to take these minei ochlin that are mixed together, these shnei minei ochlin, and sort them out from each other. So when I was younger, the example they always gave, I doubt it's still the common example in like high schools today when they teach Hilchos Shabbos, unless it's the same Rebbe teaching it from all those years ago. But the example they used to always give is peanuts and raisins, because that, for some reason, that was a common snack. Peanuts and raisins, nowadays, you'd kill half the children in America with such a snack, so they don't do peanuts, they don't give that as an example so often when they use, but that was always the example given. Why are peanuts and raisins the example given for borer? Because they're tiny, they're small, they mix together really well, and apparently they were very commonly eaten together. We need a better example, what?
Trail mix.
Good. So that's what peanuts and raisins essentially are, I guess, right? But a trail mix is like eight minei ochlin. You have all different types of minei ochlin. Okay, so what?
No, you want to know what trail mix was.
You have allergies. It's something you should not eat. That's what it is. Don't it's try. Something that you should not try. Right. So minei ochlin, you have this mixture of small foods that are together. So the implication of shnei minei ochlin would be that you want to separate them from each other. If the gear says minei ochlin, the implication is not that you're separating the ochlin from each other. It's that you have whatever kinds of food you have in front of you, and the food has impurities that are mixed in with it, and you need to separate the psalas. You need to get the psalas out of there. You need to get those impurities out of there. But it's not about if the gear says only minei ochlin, then it's not about separating food from food. It's about separating the psalas, getting rid of the psalas. If it was shnei minei ochlin, it would mean that it says Rashi, that can't be the correct gersa because that's not a borer situation. Borer means that you have ochel and you have psalas. That's what Rashi just told us. That's borer, that's merake, that's dash. You have ochel, you have psalas, and you're trying to separate them from each other. So if the gersa was shnei minei ochlin, that would imply that there's a borer situation when you're just trying to separate ochel from ochel. And that's not true, says Rashi. It's not a borer situation at all if you have ochel and ochel. It's only a borer situation when you have ochel and psalas. And therefore the gersa must be minei ochlin, not shnei minei ochlin. So says Rashi. Tosos, however, and Ayin Dal and Amr Alf writes, Hayu lefanav shnei minei ochlin garsinan. That we are goreish shnei minei ochlin. Tosos, what do you mean we're goreish shnei minei ochlin? Rashi had a very good point. You can't say shnei minei ochlin, because if it's shnei minei ochlin, you're not in a borer situation, because the rules are simple. To have a borer situation, yeah, you need two ingredients. You need ochel and you need psoles, and then you also need them to be betarovas with each other. But you need ochel and you need psoles. If you have shnei minei ochlin, you don't have ochel and psoles. Says Tosos, don't tell me, v'chein pirush rach, that the Rabbi Elchananel agrees with me. And Rabbi Elchananel is, one of the most respected of the Rishonim. Deba ochel mitoch ochel shaykh habreira. So it says you don't need ochel and psalas. Even when you have ochel and ochel, you can have borer. Sheborer also sheinu chafetz leechol, mitoch also sherotz leechol. It's also sheinu chafetz bo chashiv psalas legabe also chafetz leechol. Says Tosos, an unbelievable chiddush. That, how does Rabbi Yammer say? No, unbelievable chiddush, right? So it says Tosos, a beautiful chiddush. What? Unbelievably, right. So says Tosos an unbelievably chiddush. So says Tosos that in order to have a borer situation, you don't need ochel psoles. You do need ochel psoles. But how do you define those terms, ochel psoles? We think ochel psoles means that you have grains and you have gravel. No, ochel psoles means ochel is what you want and psoles is what you don't want. You can have a pile of coats, but they're all ochel. They're all something that somebody wants. But I don't want that other guy's coat. I want my coat. Ochel psoles is defined by, it's defined subjectively based on what I want. If I don't like eating nuts and I enjoy raisins, so when I'm picking out the nuts from the raisins, I'm picking out the psoles from the ochel. If I'm picking out the raisins from the nuts, I'm picking out the ochel from the psoles. It's defined subjectively. So you can have shnei minei ochlin, and you're separating the trail mix, you're separating the nuts from the raisins, you're doing that that act of separation, and still it's called ochel and psoles. So the word shnei does belong in the text of the Gemara. The Gemara is talking about a case of shnei minei ochlin. What about Rashi's problem that you always need psoles in order to have a borer situation? Tosos says you have to redefine psoles. Psoles is subjective to what you are not interested in. And ochel is subjective to what you are interested in. So if you don't want these ochlin, that ochlin turns into psoles. So even with no real psoles, you could still have an issue of borer. There is a third shita, and that is shitas HaRambam, or it seems to be a third shita. The Rambam, Paraches Halachi Yud Beis, Rambam writes, HaBorer Ochel Mitoch Psoles, O Shehayu Lefanav Shnei Minei Ochlin. So right away, what do you see? The Rambam sounds like he's leaning toward Tosos, right? He's got Shnei Minei Ochlin. If you have either Ochel or Psoles, or you have Shnei Minei Ochlin, Ubirer min mi min nacher benafa bekavr chayav beknor betam chipater. V'imbir biyodol lechol yalter muter. So the Rambam starts talking about the rules of borer. Now let's pause for a second and like quickly chazer over the rules of borer that emerge from the Gemara. In order for borer to be muter, you need three things. You need three things to happen, right? What do you need? Biyad, miyad, and ochel mitoch psolas. So the Rambam says, if you have shnei minei ochlin, now how would you finish the sentence? You'd say, okay, you need to do it biyad, it needs to be miyad, and you need to figure out what you want and start being borer that, instead of what you don't want and pulling it out. If Tosfos were writing that halacha, that's what it would say. Right? Tosfos says, if you have shnei minei ochlin, it is a borer. Rashi would say, shnei minei ochlin, it's not a borer situation at all. Do whatever you want. It doesn't matter. It's not a borer situation. Right? That's what Rashi would say. Tosfos would say, shnei minei ochlin, this could be a borer situation. You need to figure out what's your ochel and what's your psolus. It's subjective. It's up to you to figure out. The Rambam talks about shnei minei ochlin and doesn't mention about identifying what your psolus is and what your ochel is and making sure to be borrowed the ochel from the psolus. He talks about doing miyad, he talks about doing biyad, he talks about all the other stuff, the other criteria of how to make borer happen, but he doesn't talk about making sure that you're taking your ochel from your psolus and not your psolus from your ochel. So he has the word shnei in the Gemara, but he apparently doesn't understand like Tosfos. He describes shnei minei ochlin and says instead of using a yad, use a kli. If instead of using yad, you use a kli, you chayv skila, you got to do a biyad. And if you do it for later on, if it's not miyad, you're going to be chayv. But he never says if you take that which you don't want out of the mixture, that you're also going to be chayv. He leaves that part out. So apparently, even though the Rambam holds that when you have ochel and ochel, it is a borer situation, it's not, he doesn't understand it the way Tosfos understood, that you identify what's an ochel and what's a psolas. Right. It just means you're sorting it out. He doesn't say that you have to, that I understand that expression would only, meaning if he says what I want him to say, then it wouldn't work on both of the cases that he starts with, right? I understand that, but then he should have come up with a way to say it better. Meaning he leaves out the whole idea that you need to figure out what the ochel is and what the psolus is. So if you look in the Bir Halacha here and some of the other Achronim, they seem to understand that the Rambam didn't mention this idea of identifying your ochel, right? Identifying your psolas, because the Rambam would hold the person's chayav for borer by shnei minei ochlin, even if there is no psolas. Meaning, we started with a premise. The premise came from Rashi, that in order to have a borer situation, you need to have ochel and psolas, and you want to sort them from each other. And when we said, well, what does Tosfos do? Tosfos says, shnei minei ochlin. Yeah, Tosfos agrees with the premise, that you need to have ochel and you need to have psolas. It's just that Tosfos says, the definition of psolas doesn't mean garbage. It means that which you're not interested in right now, even if it's the most delicious food in the world. It's just something that you're not interested in right now. So Tosfos is willing to redefine psolas in order to make it that you have a case of ochel and psolas, even when in reality you have shnei minei ochlin. The Rambam may reject the premise. The Rama may say that who says you need psolas in order to do borer? Maybe borer happens even when you just have shnei minei ochlin and you're sorting out the ochlin from each other. Borer is an iser of, how do you say it? What's the English for borer?
Sorting.
So you're sorting things out. Sorting doesn't mean I'm getting rid of stuff. Sorting means I'm sorting it out. Right? If I'm sorting my cutlery, I like knives and I like forks and I like spoons. I love them all. They're all wonderful. Right? But I'm just sorting them out because I don't want my knives and my forks and my spoons to be all mixed together. So unlike Tosfos says that you have to identify something as psolas and say, that's my psolas, Rambam holds, no. You don't need to identify psolas to violate borer. Oh, miyad, biyad, yeah, that's still going to apply. Because that's critical to the definition of the malacha, but ochel mitoch psolas is only true when there is an ochel and a psolas, but when there is no psolas, so then you don't need that criteria of ochel mitoch psolas. Ochel mitoch psolas is just a way of determining that you're doing it derech achila, not derech breira. But just like miyad and biyad are. But when you don't have a psolas, you could still have borer.
Don't we say that the malachas are learned out from the Mishkan? And the Mishkan, the way it was used, was to delineate between good and bad.
Yeah, and they might have done it on a Tuesday at first. I mean, that's the wrong example to give. They might have done it in the first half of the day. So you can say the melacha is only the first half. They might have done standing on one foot, meaning not every detail of what was done in the Mishkan necessarily is going to be incorporated into the melacha. So how did they know which details are definitional to the melacha, which aren't? I don't know. But the Rambam seems to be saying, the Rambam seems to be saying that sorting is the crux of the malacha. That's the real definition of the malacha. Everything else were details that happen to be around it. Meaning, we apply borer by the example I should have given is we apply borer by a trail mix. They didn't have trail mixes in the Mishkan, right? They were sorting out pebbles and gravel from grain. Right, he doesn't teach it like Rashi. When Rashi learned very good, meaning when the Gemara asked that question, Hainu Bora, Hainu Zora, Hainu Merakid, the Rashi said, what do you mean, Hainu? What do you mean they're all the same? They're not all the same. So Rashi says they're all the same because they're all sorting solus from Ochel. So the Ram would say they're all sorting. He probably wouldn't fill in the solus from Ochel. In fact, Bir Alacha quotes a fascinating suffix over here. Prima Gadim raises the following suffix. Bir Alacha quotes it over here. Prima Gadim says, let's say someone, he likes every bit of the trail mix. He likes all of it, but he doesn't like it together. You know, there are people that like they have to sort all their food before they eat it. You know, there's like the chalent has to be in a separate bowl because if the chas v'shalom touches the chicken, not because of bishul concerns, but just because that's the way they roll. That's the way they do things, right? That they need it. You know, that you ever wonder who they make those partitioned plates for, right? That's who they're for, right? That they need everything. So the guy's got his bowl of jelly beans, let's say. So all the jelly beans are mixed in. He likes all of the flavors, which is rare. He likes all of the flavors, but he doesn't eat them together because like each. I hear actually with jelly beans, like you don't really get the full flavor of each one if like it's being canceled out by another flavor. Like if you want like the cinnamon, like spicy, you know, the red ones, like you don't want to mix with a green one, you know. So he wants to, no, you know here. Nobody eats which one, the red ones. Those are the best ones. So I can't eat that stuff anymore. My teeth just come right out of my mouth. So he likes all of them, says the Prima Gadim. You want everything. You just don't want it together, and you know when you're going to want it. You're not going to want it together. You're not hungry right now. You're not eating any of it right now. Which one am I going to want next? I don't know. But all I know is I need to sort this stuff out because I wouldn't need it this way anyway. And now I have some downtime, so I want to sort everything out. So I went to the early minyan, I come home, and I'm ready to sort my jelly beans, right? Because I'm going to have them for dessert at the end of my suda. So it's not like a hachana for after Shabbos. I'm doing it for today. I want to have it all sorted out. So Prima Gadim says, is that borer? You have a bowl of them mixed together. You're not hungry right now, but you want to separate them so you can eat them separately. Is that allowed? So l'chora, that's talim machlokas tosis in the Rambam. Rashi would say it's pashut that it's not a borer situation because there's no psolas, right? If there's no psolas, then it's not a borer situation. The definition of borer, the criteria for borer is that there's ochel psolas. According to Tosos, that by shnei minei ochlin, we have, what does Tosos say? You just have to identify what your psolas is, and that becomes the psolas. Then l'chora, it's also not a borer situation over here because you have no psolas. Meaning, there is nothing that you want to eat right now. There's nothing that you don't want to eat. It's just you're going to eat them when you eat them, and you don't even know what you're going to want first at the time that you eat them. So according to Tosos, by Shnei Minei Ochlin, in order for it to be a Borer problem, you need to have something that becomes your Psolas. But in this case, you want both of them. So you can't call anything Psolas. And if you can't call anything Psolas, remember in principle, Tosos agrees to Rashi, that borer is only when you have ochel psolas, just that tosis is mechadesh, that even delicious food could be called psolas if you're not in the mood for it right now. So tosis says, well, if you're in the mood for everything or in the mood for nothing right now, then there is no ochel psolas. But according to the Rambam, it doesn't matter if there's ochel psolas. It could all be ochel. It's fine. It's still going to be a borer situation. So the answer to the Prima Gadim Safek, according to the Rambam, is going to be that it's going to be aser. that it's going to be a borer problem. So it turns out that there are two significant nafkaminas between Tosos and the Rambam. If you are borer psolas from the ochel, so when it's subjective psolas, is that aser? Right? Is that chayiv mishum borer? Meaning, let's say it's jelly beans, and I'm being borer the black jelly beans because I'm not interested in eating the black jelly beans. But it's food. There are people that eat it. They still make them. There's somebody. Right? There are people in every room, like you say, whenever you say it, right? There's always that one guy. There's always, you're the guy they make it for, right? So there are people that like that, that enjoy that. So it is ochel. So according to Tosfos, once there's something I want and there's something I don't want, I now have ochel psoles. And therefore, if I start pulling out the psoles, chayiv mishum borer. According to the Rambam, it doesn't matter if you pull out the psoles. You just worry about your miyad and biyad. Don't worry about your ochel psoles. You're not going to be chayiv mishum borer just because you're pulling out one from the other. It doesn't matter which one you pull out from the other. That's not a criteria over here, according to the Rambam. So that would be one nafkamina. And the other nafkamina is the case of the prima gadin, where I want them both I want neither of them right now, and I just want to sort them out. There is no psoles.
No,
it's
an example we just gave, the black jelly bean.
Yeah, meaning the Rambam would say if it's shnei minei ochlin, then there's no subjective borer. There's no subjective psoles. Meaning the psoles is defined objectively, so it doesn't really matter what I want. L'chora, the way we're explaining it, Rambam, yeah, that's right. And so, who wrote over the Mafreya?
I don't know, but I'm just saying, is that so clear that it's not called subjective? So, one of them is just subjective.
Yeah, I hear, but at the moment, yeah, I guess you'd have to look in the moment, and at the moment, it's not subjective solace.
Even if you don't say it's over the Mafreya, but at the moment, I'm looking for the gray jelly beans, so everything else is solace at that moment.
No, because my goal is not to look for the green jelly beans. It's like I'll pick up whichever one and I'll put it on that side, and I'll pick up whichever one and put it on that side. I'm not looking for anything. I'm just pulling out whatever I'm pulling out, and I'll just separate them from each other.
And also for the Rambam, how do we define objective psoles?
Garbage, like gravel, is psoles.
They wouldn't care. Only
something
that's
right. No, there is such a thing as psoles. The Rambam doesn't deny the existence of psoles, but that's only in a case. That's meaning you don't need it in order to violate borer. But when you do have it, then you have to pick the ochel from the psoles. But that's only when you really have psoles. When you have shnei minei ochlin, so then you don't have to worry about whether you take an ochel from psoles or psoles from ochel because you don't have any psoles. That's what it seems from the Rambam. So lechora two nafkaminas between them. How do we paskin? So, in the Bir Halacha, in Dibra Maskel Hayu Lefanav, he sounds like he says we should be choshish for both, because he talks about the Prima Gadim's case, right? Where is it? Yeah, Hayu Lefanav. He writes, if you happen to have a Mishabura with you, Hayu Lefanav, page 278 in the classic printing of the Mishabura. So he says, in the middle of the Bir Halacha, Yinei HaPrima Gadim is stopping. Dimbirer min echel mechaveru. V'daitu laniach shneyam ala achar zman im shayich b'zebreira. You want to leave them both aside. Tehei ochel vehei psolas. What's called the ochel? What's called the psolas? So laniach daiti nir poshut miloshar Rambam. Disfir lei da breira mashaborer min echel mechaveru. V'yidei zeh hu kol min b'fnei atzmo zeh etzem hamalacha. That the etzem ha-malacha is to sort out different minim from each other. It doesn't matter if it's ochel psoles. Elidim daitel lechol teko fuhu biyado havi derech machol. But if it's miyad and it's biyad, then that's derech achila. Vim kein kal v'chomer adover. Umahe chashin nichum minachal melchom v'shayich shem breiro v'kol shkein b'zeh shalaka kol minaminu bir la'atzmo d'chayiv. So he, and then at the end he says, avok shabor shnei mini achalim kol echem mechaveru kdei lechol kol min b'fnei atzmo lachaz man. Hare Shapir Mesakin Shneyam Ali Debiroso Bor Gomeru Ukumoshek Savnu. So he says, L'chora, that you should be machmir in the prima gadim's case. And in Sifkat Nid Beis, if you look at Mishabur in Sifkat Nid Beis, at the beginning of Sif Gimel, right, so what does it say in Sif Gimel? Shulchan says, Ha'ilfan of Shnei Mine Ochlim Ma'uravim, Borer Echon Me'echon, Umaniach Le'echon Me'yad. Says in Mishabur, Sifkat Nid Beis, Rotzalomar, De'oso Sherotzalechol, Ato Choshub Ko'ochel, Vashaini Choshub Psolas. Whatever you want to eat right now is called your ochel. Whatever you want to eat later is called your... You don't want to eat right now is called your psolas. Who holds that way? That's Tosfos. Right? That there's subjective ochel and psolas. So in Sifkat Nid Beis, it's very clear that we hold like Tosfos. And yet, when it comes to Prima Gadin Safek, he sounds like, he holds like the Rambam. Which is perhaps a Mishabura Kedarko telling us, be machmir l'chal adeos. Right? That's what the Mishabura always says. To be machmir l'chal adeos. So it seems that the Mishabura... What? Leaving aside Rashi. Meaning, leaving aside Rashi. So it seems that if you have Shnei Minei Ochlev, Ochlin, so Ochlin and Ochlin Psolas, either way, you got to be Machmir when it comes to Bora. However, there's another caveat over here that's critical. There's a famous Kash of the Yeshuas Yaakov. If you look in Shin Yates on page Kuf Mem, the same page where Sivkat Nid Beis is, on the left side of the page in the Bir Alacha, right in the middle of the page, in Dibur Maschul Lechel Miyad, he asks a Kasha that I think we discussed earlier this year. But you didn't have a bechina on it because it's from the introduction shiurim, so we got a chazer right now. He has the kasha of the Yeshuas Yaakov. The Yeshuas Yaakov is not really, it's not an original kasha of the Yeshuas Yaakov, because the Bir Alacha quotes from the Yeshuas Yaakov, everyone knows it as the kasha of the Yeshuas Yaakov. It's Ramban, really, but okay, fine, we'll give it to the Yeshuas Yaakov. He wrote a lot of Geshmaka Torah, so we'll take it. So he writes, Hinei, the Sefer Yeshuas Yaakov Hiksha be Ikur Melechas Bore. Yeshuas Yaakov has a fundamental question on the whole concept of Bore. Even if you are pulling out the gravel from the grain, you're taking the psolus out from the chum. Why in the world would you be chayim? Harei hu melacha she'en tzarech legufa. Isn't that a melach she'en tzarech legufa? You're just getting rid of the gravel. So that's a melach she'en tzarech legufa. There ain't tzarech lepsolus klal. You don't need the psolus. Al shaboruk they lidchos hanezek me'olah. You just don't want to choke on a piece of gravel. You don't want to bite into a rock when you have your bread. You don't want to have like a paro situation. It's exactly like the case that the Gemara gives of taking a mace out of the house to bury the mace. That's a melach shein tzricha legufa. You're just trying to get rid of something that's unwanted. That's the very definition of melach shein tzricha legufa. So Yeshuas Yaakov asks this kasha, how could Borer be a malacha? Yeshuas Yaakov says, I'm with the guy that attended Rabbi Franz Shira on Borer. There's no such thing as Borer. There can't be, because it's always going to be a malach shein tzricha legufa. Now, that's the kasha of the Yeshuas Yaakov. Simple answer is, l'chora. Yeah, but there's such a thing as Bora. Melach Shein Tzricha Legufa is not Chayiv unless it is. Meaning, unless it was done in the Mishkan, in which case it is Chayiv. Meaning, if there was this is the way it was done in the Mishkan, so then it's going to be Chayiv.
He's only asking the Kasha according to the definition.
So let's chazer over that. Right. So let's remind ourselves about the basic concept of Melach Shein Tzricha Legufa and who this Kasha is a Kasha according to. Right, what does Melach Shein Tzricha Legufa mean? So we mentioned this in the introductory shiurim, but it's good to chazer a little bit. Mishnah on Chav Tesan Beis, right, in Bam Madlikin. Kechos al Ener, kechos al Shemen, kechos al Psila Chayiv, Rabbi Yossi Potter, b'chulim chutz min ha-psila min b'nei shuas ha-pechom. And the Gemara on Lamed Alef Beis says that the Tanakam and Rabbi Yossi disagree about Melach Shein Tzricha Legufa, because you don't really need the guf hakibur. Meaning, what are you doing? You're extinguishing the fire because shema yipaka haner. You're concerned that it's going to destroy the ner. The ner is the piece of cheres that holds the oil and the wick. So you want to extinguish the fire because you're nervous about the ner being damaged in some way, or you're trying to preserve the oil, or you're trying to preserve the wick for another occasion, right? It's the seventh night of Hanukkah, and you realize that that you don't have enough oil for the next night. Let's assume like the old days where people would actually buy a bottle of oil and all the material instead of buying the pre-made stuff, right? So there's still Jews that do that, by the way, and take great pride in that they. You do? Okay, very good. My son Zachariah told me in Eretz Yisrael, he went into the store and that's what they had. So that's what he bought, a bottle of oil and the thing. And he said the clerk made a mistake and charged him like 20 shekel for everything plus two chocolate bars. So I'm like, Zachariah, it's not Lachem, you stole the whole thing. But okay, but the, you know, you got a very good deal. You got a very good deal. So if you have the oil, the wick, and you realize you don't have enough oil for tomorrow. So you wanna extinguish the flame now. It's Friday night. Let's say this year it's going to be the sixth night of Hanukkah, it's Friday night, but it's Friday night, you realize you need to preserve oil and wick in order to be able to, so you blow it out. Why am I blowing it out? Because I'm just trying to preserve the oil and the wick. So that's Melach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. So that's an example of Melach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. It's fine, that's an example, but how do we define the concept? So Rashi writes, on Tzadi Gimel and Beis, Zibra Maschel Reb Shimon Poter, V'kol Melach Shein Tzrich Elo L'Salka Me Olav, Havi Melach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. Rashi says a malacha that's for the purpose of lesalkame olav, to remove something that you didn't ask for, that you didn't want, it was a situation you weren't interested, meaning it's something that's not entirely constructive, it's preventative, like hotzah asameis, you don't want a decomposing body in your house. I'm not getting rid of the mace because I want it there. I'm getting rid of the mace because I don't want it here. You're trying to remove the mace from the house because it smells. Kechas al aner is not for a constructive purpose. It's to prevent the oil from being further consumed. So preventative, right? We use the term preventative because Tosfos on Tzadi Dalet asks in Rashi that if a person sews a tear in their clothing, then it's certainly a malacha. So it tells us, well, I understand, according to you, Rashi, that the definition of malach shein tzrich l'gufa is b'ritzono lo hayabalo, that this wasn't a situation you ever asked for. Well, anytime you're sewing a tear in your clothing, it's not a situation you asked for. You'd rather not have the tear in your clothing. So in order to touch up Rashi properly, you have to say that that's not the ikar of Rashi. It's not that b'ritzono lo hayabalo. It's not that it's a situation I didn't ask for. It's that it's preventative. That anything that's preventative, that it's not constructive, is called the Melach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. So Rashi must hold, it depends, is it a Melachas Tikkun? Is it something that's positive and productive? Or is it just something that's a Melachas Siluk, that prevents further deterioration? And sewing is a Melachas Tikkun, right? It is something, I'm literally mending the garment, I'm fixing the garment. So it's a Melachas Tikkun. That's Rashi's definition of Melach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. Tosfos disagrees. And Tosa says, you know, there is no real single definition of Melach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa that's going to work for every Melacha, but the way to look at it is, in much broader strokes, you have to say, why do they do this in the Mishkan? And am I doing it for the same reason? It's not like, you know, there's like this one rule, like Melacha Siluk versus Melacha Tikkun. Every Melacha has to be looked at independently. What did they do this Melacha for? What was the goal in this Melacha? And do I share those same goals? Tosus writes, Nira Levi, the Melach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa Kari Kisha Osa Melacha Ve'in Tzarech La'osel Tzorech Ke'in Shoyu Tzrichen La'B'Mishkan. That when I'm doing the Melacha, but not for the same need that they had in the Mishkan, I'm doing it for a different need. Elalin Yinache. Ki Tzorech Shoyu Tzorech Melacha Nasus Bishvilo B'Mishkan Hu Gufa Melacha V'Shor Shoyu. The goal of the Melacha, that is the Iker of the Melacha. So if I do that same act, but for a different purpose than it was done in the Mishkan, then it's Einat Tzrich L'Gufa. They carried in the Mishkan because they needed the items that they were carrying and they needed to get them somewhere. When you carry the mace out of your house, it's not because you need to get the mace somewhere, it's just to get rid of it. So it's for a different purpose. They extinguished in the Mishkan to create coals because of what they were creating, not because of what they were saving. So it was a different purpose than you do it for in the Mishkan. That's the definition of Melach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. So whereas Rashi holds Melach HaSiluk, Tosfos holds it depends on why it was done in the Mishkan. So in Daf Tzadidal and Beis Mishas Machlok Tzanaim, if a person bites their nails or peels their nails, Machlokas, if it's Shalok Kedarko Vasu Midrabanan or it's Kedarko and it's Asu Midaraisa, if a person bites their nails. But the Gemara says that if it's done Bekli, everybody agrees you're Chayiv Mishum Gozeis. That if you take a nail clipper and you cut your nails, Kuli Almelo Pligi, you're Chayiv Mishum Gozeis. Fractosos, why on earth should you be Chayiv Mishum Gozeis? They sheared in the Mishkan when they needed the wool. When you cut your nails, it's not because you enjoy having fingernails around. You're trying to get rid of your fingernails. Not that you want them. You're going to flush them down the toilet, right? You're not going to keep the fingernails. We're not even supposed to, right? The Gemara might cut them. That's kasha for a woman to be mapil of lad if she steps on fingernails, right? Shaila's pregnant women always ask, can they go get a manicure? So, right, you hear the Shaila? You ever walk into a manicure place? Don't admit it if you did. Right, if you walk into a manicure place, apparently, I didn't know this, it seems kind of gross to me, there are nails all over the place. I get that because I'm used to haircut places, but I'm not used to manicure places. I would have thought there's some way to contain them better, but apparently there are nails everywhere. So it's like crunch, crunch as you're walking around. So it's a shayla. And dafka, you know, pregnant women, it's an ideal time to get a manicure because the thing that stops most from women from getting a good manicure is that they're going to have to go to the mikveh soon anyway, so they're going to have to ruin the manicure anyway, right? If they have to go to the mikveh, it's like a big thing when women have to go to the mikveh and they have to take off the manicure. They go crazy. I mean, depending on the woman, you know, sometimes they're not so happy about taking off the. But if they're pregnant, they're not going to have to go to the mikveh for you know, several months. It's a great time to get a manicure. But anyway, back to this.
Of
going to get a manicure. So the Gemara says that if they sweep it from its original location, then it's no longer damaging. It's no longer harmful.
Call them in advance to move the.
Yeah, call them. Tell them I'm pregnant. No, sweep it away. You know, that's what the Gemara. The Gemara says in the Beis Medrash, right? The Gemara says that that you're allowed to throw the nails down in the Beis Medrash because women don't come into the Beis Medrash. Aye, but it's going to be swept out of the Beis Medrash. Okay, but then it's been swept out of its original location, so it's not damaging anymore. I don't think we understand any of this, but that, you know, something to do with Adam Arisha was entirely nails, right? That's why we look at our fingernails Motzei Shabbos, you know, something like that. No, have you heard this stuff? Okay, but there's Mamari Chazal like this. It's not. Anyway, so what were we saying? So in Melach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, Tosas understand. I mean, Tosas is saying, I understand. How could we chayv Mishum Gozeis? It's Melach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa because after all, when they would shear wool in the Mishkan, it's because they wanted the wool. So that's Tosas Shitaso. Rashi wouldn't have such a kasha. Why wouldn't Rashi have such a kasha? Cutting nails is not a Melach Hasiluk. It's a Melach Hastikun. I'm making my nails nice. That's a Melach Hastikun. Tosas answers the kasha. He says, no, the Gemara really means not that Divrei HaKol Chayiv when you cut with a kli, but simply that Divrei HaKol, that it's called Kedarko. And once it's called Kedarko, so it's a Melach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, and then it's subject to the Machlokas Tanaim, but Melach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. Tosas goes like this to explain the Gemara, based on his own definition of Melach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. So the Ramban sides with Rashi. And Kuvav Amaral, and Dibra Maskel called. The Ramban writes, "Hanotot zipar of bekli v'chein tzfamo shu chayiv mishum told the degozes v'afol pishen otzarach l'gufa tzipernayim v'aser melacha tzricha l'gufa nikras." I know you don't need it. It's still called melacha tzricha l'gufa. Why is it called melacha tzricha l'gufa? Because it's a melacha tikun and not a melacha siluk. So the Ramban assumes that it's tzricha l'gufa, just like removal of Erla for the Bris Mila, because it's an inherent Melechas Tikkun. Whenever something is a Melechas Tikkun, that's a Melechas Tzrich L'Gufa, according to Rashi. Now the Yeshuas Yaakov. So Frek, the Yeshuas Yaakov, I don't understand, isn't every time you do Borer a Melech Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, because you're just getting rid of the stuff you don't want. So isn't that Melech Shein Tzrich L'Gufa? Who's the Kasha within? Kasha's within Rashi. According to Tosas, it's not a kasha. What do you mean? That's what they did in the Mishkan. And it's all defined as what each malacha. Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is defined malacha by malacha. And this malacha is exactly what they did in the Mishkan for the purpose that they did it in the Mishkan. So it's a melacha shvicha l'gufa. But according to Rashi, that it's a melacha siluk, you're getting rid of the garbage. So isn't that a melacha shvicha l'gufa? So what's Yeshua's Yaakov's teretz? One second. Yeshua's Yaakov's teretz? Well, before we even get to it, Balamar writes that when it comes to almost all melacha Shabbos, if it's done in an Ein Tzricha L'Gufa way, it's only Nisad Rabbanan. But by Borer, there's no Ptur of melacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa.
Whoa.
That the rule of melacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa just doesn't apply to Borer. Lamed Zayin Beis B'Dap Erith. Kol Shloshim B'Teisha Melachas, says the Balamar. All 39 melachas shayu connected to Mishkan, kulan hayibem tzorich legufan, they all have melachas hatzrich legufa, chutz min hazora v'haborer. Shu zora motz min hagorer v'haborer tzroros min hakri. Zora is getting rid of the whatever blows away, the lightweight junk that blows away in the wind, and borer is pulling out the pebbles. V'zehu ikur melachton lidchos hamos v'hatzroros. V'chein chayev aleihen ve'al kol tolda shalehen aval shar melachos ikru l'tzorach gufa. But all the other 37 melachos, they're called melachos shricha l'gufa. Definition of bor is removing that which is undesirable, so can't be subject to the exception of melachos shricha l'gufa. L'chora, the Balamar only works according to Rashi. If you hold like Tosfos, there's no reason to assume bor is going to be any different, right? According to Rashi, that when you're removing that which you don't want, Malecha Siluk, that's called Malecha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. So then the Balamar has to say, and therefore the whole Malecha of Bor is Malecha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. So essentially, Balamar is answering Yeshua's Yaakov's Kasha. Yeshua's Yaakov asks Kasha, I don't understand, there should be no such thing as Bor, Bor is Malecha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. According to Rashi, says the Balamar, in a chinami. So Malecha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, and therefore you have to say that for Bor it's an exception, and you chayiv even on Malecha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. The Ramban, however, says what the Yeshua's Yaakov actually answers. The Ramban says, no, you could accept Rashi's definition of Melacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, and there could still be a Patur of Ein Tzricha L'Gufa by Borer, but Borer by definition is not Ein Tzricha L'Gufa, Borer is Tzricha L'Gufa. What do you think Borer is? You think Borer is getting rid of Psolas? That's the Geder HaMalacha. No, the Geder HaMalacha, and this is exactly what the Yeshua's Yaakov answers, but it's a Ramban. The Geder HaMalacha is Tikkun HaOchel. The Geder of the Malacha is not removal of the Psolas. The Geder of the Malacha is the Tikkun HaOchel. You're making the Ochel pure. You're making the Ochel good. So they fundamentally argue about Malacha's Bore, right? About the Geder of Malacha's Bore. And Nafkamina would be, I think we mentioned this in the introduction shir, and we'll take questions and just finish this up. Nafkamina would be, what's the shear of Borer? Remember we discussed this? What's the shear of Borer? Shear of Borer we know is Kagrogris. Okay. Kagrogris of what? Let's assume you know what a Grogeris is, right? You know how big it is exactly. Okay, I know exactly the size, Grachnoa, whatever, you know, whoever had, you know, I know exactly what size I'm looking for. But of what? So in the Pirush Kadmon Mimitzrayim printed in the back of the Frankel Rambam, he writes, Vitzoruch iun ha'im zeh hashir l'shmarim, meaning the psolas, o l'mashkin. Kolomer lo yechayv ad sheyotzi shmarim kegrogos, o ad sheyah hamashke sheyotzi shmarim kegrogos. When we say the shear is a kegrogeres, does that mean that the junk that you removed has to be a shear of a kegrogeres? Or does it mean the new purified beverage has to be the shear of a grogeres? Which one has to be the shear of a grogeres? The Minchas Chinuch Mitzvah Lamed Beis Melechas Zora has the same suffix. V'lo nisparisham im dai sheish bein hakol. He raises a third possibility. Ha'ochel v'hapsolas kegrogeres. O efshar shetzorich sheyishar achar atzos hapsolas kegrogeres. He says, I don't know. Is grogeres what you're left with? Or is a krogeres a share of what you start with, and then you do the malacha, and then you do borer on? But he's noted to say that it has to be a krogeres of actual food that you're left with. The share of krogeres is that which is chashuv. It's not chashuv if it's half junk. It's only chashuv if it's all food. So Shuas Yaakov over here in Shin Yates of Katan Aleph says Krogeris, Kigrogeris in total. not just for grogeris of the solas, not just for grogeris of the ochel. It may hinge on how you define the malach of borer. According to the Balamor, that borer is defined as removing the solas from the ochel. So it could be that you need to share a grogeris of solas. The geder ha-malachas, that I'm removing psolas. Balamor says, oh, the geder ha-malachas, that I'm removing psolas, and it's always going to be a malach shein shrich al-gufa. And what was the Balamor's answer? Ein ha-chinami. It's always a malach shein shrich al-gufa, but there is no patur of malach shein shrich al-gufa by borer, because that's the definition of the malacha. Why? Because he holds that the geder of the malacha is taking out the psolas. That's what the malacha is. The maisa iser requires a shear. What's the maisa iser? The maisa iser is taking out the psolas. According to the Ramban, and what the Yeshua's Yaakov is being noted to, according to the Ramban, what's the Gedra Malacha? What's Gedra Malacha? Tikkun Ochel. It's not removing souls, it's fixing the Ochel. Then Yesh Ladun. Maybe Shir Grogeris is a Grogeris of Ochel, or maybe it's a Grogeris of Ochel and Psolas together, but it's certainly not just Psolas. Because the malach is not defined by the psolas. Wow. So if you say like that, right? If you say like this, Yeshua's Yaakov, like this Ramban. So let's bring it back to what we started with. You say like this, Yeshua's Yaakov, this Ramban. Okay, Yeshua's Yaakov is bothered by kasha. I understand every single time you do borrow, it's malach shein shrich l'gufa. The kasha is only a kasha if you learn malach shein shrich l'gufa to be like Rashi. It's not a kasha according to Tosa's definition of malach shein shrich l'gufa. Because it's a malachas siluk, it's not a malachas tikkun. Yeshua's Yaakov preferred the answer of the Ramban that it is a malachas tikkun, because the gather of the malacha is to be misake in the ocha. That's the gather of the malacha. What happens when you have shnei minei ochlin? You have shnei minei ochlin? Can you have bora? What was your taina? If the gather of the malacha is tikkun ha'ochel, and you have shnei minei ochlin, I don't know. Is that tikkun ha'ochel?
Yeah. Is there subjective
psolas
in that case? Or?
Oh, so if you hold of psolas, it's subjective psolas, right? But let's learn within the Rambam for a second, right? Where the Rambam says shnei minei ochlin is not going to be right. That shnei minei ochlin is not going to be what should we call it? There's no psolas, right? And you can still be chayiv mishum borer. But wait a second. If it's shnei minei ochlin, then isn't it always malach shein shrich l'gufa? Meaning, aren't we back to the kasha then, according to the Rambam? So Bir Lacha quotes this Yeshua's Yaakov that. Yeah, you are back to Malach Shein Shrich L'Guf, but guess what? The Rambam holds Malach Shein Shrich L'Guf a Chayiv. Ah, so it works out. Because the Rambam holds Yechayiv Malach Shein Shrich L'Guf. That's why we would hold that there's real Borer by Shnei Minei Ochlin. Because Ein Achinami. Every time you have Shnei Minei Ochlin, it's really Malach Shein Shrich L'Guf. So it seems that the only way to be chayv midar raisa for borer by shnei minei ochlin is if you hold that malach shein shrich l'guf is chayv. Frek the bir halacha, but it's not true. Tosos and the Rush hold that there is borer by shnei minei ochlin, but they hold malach shein shrich l'guf is pater. So he says, no, but you have to say that Yeshua's Yaakov is right. Like the gather of the malach of borer is defined as tikkun ochel, but Yeshua's Yaakov is wrong. That the concept of tikkun ochel does apply to shnei minei ochel. Meaning, for the Yeshua's Yaakov to say, the whole concept of tikkun ochel doesn't apply to shnei minei ochel, because it's all ochel anyway, so you're not being misakin anything. So mela, every time you have shnei minei ochel, according to the Rambam, it's going to be malach shein shrich l'guf, and only the Rambam can hold that there's a chi of borer on shnei minei ochel. So he says, it's not true, the Bir Halacha says. Not everyone passes like the Rambam. Tosus and the Rosh hold that there's borer on shnei minei ochel. And yet Tosfos and the Rush hold that even though there's Borer and Shnei Minei Ochlin, they hold that Malach Shein Shrich L'Guf are your pater. Elamai, the Geder is Tikkun Ochel, but it could still be called Tikkun Ochel, even when it's Shnei Minei Ochlin. Because if I don't want the black jelly beans, then I'm being misake in the red ones.
Even within the Rambam, he doesn't hold that it's subjective. Rebbe's example of the guy like the
Right, right. Even if I want them both right now. Right? But even if I want them both right now, it's me out, it's B out, it's everything. Right? But I'm sorting the things out from each other. And that's a tikkun. That's a tikkun. Yeah, so you got to look at that bir halacha. That bir halacha in Dibur Maskul Lechol Miyad on page Kuf Mem. It's a long bir halacha, but he goes back and forth on this. Right? He goes back and forth with this Yeshua's Yaakov. Is he only Fishitas Rambam or not?
Rabbi was saying that the kasha of the Yeshua's Yaakov is along with Hirashi. There's a Gemara in Kabbalah Kama that speaks about Zorek, the rule of the Sayaso.
Yeah.
And it says that it's chayav there when it comes to the because it's the Malach of Zorek.
Uh-huh.
And there explains that because it's Malach as Machshava Sasra Torah. I mean, Rashi knows that when there's something, even though it's a Grama, Zorek, even though it's also a Malach Shein Tzri for the Gufa, according to the Balamor, still Malach as Machshava Sasra Torah, says Rashi. He knows the answer that Rebbe wanted to say for Tosfos, that when you're defining Malacha that way based off of the Mishkan, so then it's Chayav, not Malacha.
Not following. Meaning, you know, Zora by definition is always going to be Grama. Right? That's just the nature of the Malacha. And it's going to be Malach Shein Tzricha Legufa if you assume.
Like the Balamar.
Yeah. So that's why the Balamar says that Malach Shein Tzricha Legufa doesn't apply to Zora.
Right, but Rashi on that Gemara just says, Malach is Machshava Sasser Torah. This is the way that it was done in the Mishnah, so it's Osir.
Right.
According to Rebbe.
So the Balamor is teaching up Rashi.
Right, but according to Rebbe, meaning that was the answer that Rebbe said for Tosfos on the Yeshua's Yaakov's question. But that could also be for. I'm just saying that could also be for.
No, the Balamor was saying for Rashi, I think, no?
In the Yeshua's Yaakov.
In the Yeshua's Yaakov. Yeah, the what?
That the question of the Yeshua's Yaakov was only with the Rashi, because Tosfos would just say. No, that's the way the
Malacha
works. That's the way that it was done
in the Mishkan. Yeah, because Tosfos said by the definition of Malacha Shein Tzricha is all Mishkan based.
Right, so I'm saying, don't you see from that Gemara and Rashi would say the exact same thing? That even though...
No, but he has this broader definition of Malacha Shein Tzricha Legufa that's not Malacha based. Right, so he's going to have to come onto something like that. Whereas Tosfos, you know, the Kasha doesn't get off the ground. Because according to Tosfos, the definition of Malacha Shein Tzricha Legufa is different for every Malacha. Because every Malacha is a different Gedera Malacha, and you got to be doing it for a different purpose than that Malacha. Whereas Rashi gives this broad Malacha Shein Tzricha Legufa. Malacha Siluk. So that's why, you know, you need to come on to something like that according to Rashi. According to Tosfos, it doesn't even get started. The conversation doesn't get started. Meaning that may be the answer, but you wouldn't even have a kasha according to Tosfos.
Rebbe said that the Bir Halacha's answer for Ofim Til Ofim, that it's a Maaseh Tikkun for the Rambam.
Right.
The Rambam, though, is mechalik between, in certain situations, between different halachos, like when it comes to Ofim Til Psoas and Ofim Til Ofim. Like for by La'alter. Right? He's different Gedarim by La'alter, by Ofim Til Psoas and Ofim Til Ofim. So, if it could be that still the answer of Yeshua's Yaakov would make sense, that there's different reasons to be Mechayev for the different types according to the Rambam. Meaning it wouldn't work for the Rosh and Tosfos, but it could still be for the Rambam that Yeshua's Yaakov, that it could still be that according to the Rambam by Ochum Yitov Psoas it's a din in Borer, but when it comes to Ochum Yitov Ochel it's a din in Malach Shein Tzvi.
Okay. Right. I hear. Okay.
Is the reason why the Balamor doesn't say Merakit also is by definition Malach Shein Tzricha Legufa? That Rashi finally worked. There's all going to ask all things together. Rashi said.
With Merakit, like at the end of the day, you put it through this seed thingy, and then what you're left with is the actual good stuff that you want.
Right. So actually, when we do Borer now, we're going to have to discuss, is it what's left in your hand? Is it what comes out? Right? How do you define what's called Ochel Mitoch Psoas Psoas Mitoch Ochel? And that, right, so that's going to be relevant. Okay, we'll stop here. I'll send out Mar Mekomos on the whole Malach of Borer, so, you know, for those who prefer Mekomos. And I'll share Wednesday. Our Gedolim Day didn't work out for tomorrow. The Gedolim don't want to talk to us.